The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, how about that? A typical Friday is Ron Wolfley yelling like crazy on a Cowbell Friday. However, Wolf pulled a Maloney and has taken days off. What is that? Wolf took today and Monday off. Maloney took Tuesday and Wednesday of this week off. Bear and I are the only ones working around here. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And former Redskin, former Cardinal, former Raider, former Bill, Lorenzo Alexander has walked in studio. Did I get them all right or did I miss one?
You got them all right. I would include Carolina too.
I was
a Panther my rookie year.
Hey, you get service time for that.
Yeah.
So it counts. Lorenzo Alexander, former linebacker in the NFL, and technically still linebacker in the NFL for what, about 3 more weeks?
Yeah, so whenever the league year ends, what is it, March 12th or something, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm still technically under contract.
There you go. So he's still legit. We got an NFL player in the studio. Now, truth be told, and we'll never stop doing this, but I'm not as entertained as at Loverboy. I should never have admitted this. But I do love the tradition of how much it drives Paul crazy, just so everybody knows. Have you been told, and we probably have done this to you, but we always try to retell the story. Have you ever been told the story of this song on why we do this?
No, you never have.
The reason why is Wolf claims that when he's about 15 years old or so, maybe a little younger, 13 years old, he is sitting in the basement where the basement of his house, there was only his, he grew up in only a 2-bedroom house, but it had a basement.
Okay.
So his parents got 1 bedroom, his 2 sisters got the other bedroom, and all 3 boys were just thrown in the basement. And that was his bedroom. And there was 1 bathroom for all 7 people in this house.
Yeah.
And he says that he lived at the bottom of a hill in Orchard Park, and all the rich people lived on the top of the hill.
Yeah.
And that was his life. And he would sit at the bottom of the steps before his brother Craig, who he adores, would go out for the night. And he would sit there, and his brother would be brushing his feathered hair and stand in his Jordache jeans, looking at the mirror, making sure he was good, rocking out to Loverboy.
Okay.
And Wolf swears that even at that time, I love my brother, but I don't understand why you're doing this, and was ashamed of Loverboy. So when he started telling us this story, this is like month 4 of the Doug and Wolf Show, and we've now entered year 14.
Yeah.
So we started playing, that's on air, by the way, we started playing Loverboy to make fun of him. And he got so angry because he wanted to protect his brother.
Right.
He didn't want anybody to know this.
Yeah.
And he was so mad at us. So then we started continually playing Loverboy all the time.
Right.
What is? Oh, is that your phone?
Is it? Oh, wow! I'm like, what is that?
It's coming through the mic. I thought Maloney and Bear were working on stuff.
Where's it coming from?
And
though?
I'm laughing hysterically at where is? Or maybe.
Oh, that's what happens when you have. Yep, it is me.
You just discovered that.
It is when you have stuff linked up.
So is it coming from your iPad?
It's coming from your
Mac.
It's all connected.
Okay.
That's my fault.
That's okay. I thought they were trying to play something, and I couldn't figure out. If you guys are going to play something, then turn it up. And then I didn't realize Maloney and Bear were doing absolutely nothing. So then we would start playing Loverboy, and he would get so mad. And we had to agree that no one would ever tell his brother Craig that every Friday we play Loverboy to make fun of Wolf realizing that Loverboy stinks.
Yeah.
And so far in year 14 of the show, no matter how many times the Steelers have come here, no one has ever gone up and violated the code.
Of course.
So we have 250,000 people a day that listen to the Doug and Wolf Show. And so far, everyone has, even the guys that hate Wolf or hate me, have never said, I'm going to go up to Craig and tell him. So we've been able to keep it a secret. And I want to, when we get canned, at some point we're going to get fired.
Yeah.
I want, on the last show, we admit to Craig what we've been doing. and he still won't do it.
No,
still won't do it.
No, he has too much respect for his brother.
But you can. But at the same time, if he had respect for his brother, why are we going behind his brother's back this whole time? So that's the famous story. And then we started flashing the one to say this is, or flashing the four to say we're in the last hour of the show.
Right.
Well, he would get really bent out of shape about that. Because he would get so mad, even in college, when everybody did it,
that the freshman
with white pants on,
right,
who has not seen a grass stain in a year, is now flashing the four at everybody and screaming, let's go.
Right.
And Wolf's out there exhausted from actually playing in the game.
Like, come on, please. Yeah, I used to hate that, too. I don't know why it bothered me so much. I hate the four. What are y'all doing? We should have been playing hard all game.
Exactly.
Not just
that was
the fourth quarter.
Do you remember the last rookie that you ever saw flash the four in an NFL game?
No.
Okay.
Nah, I don't even think I've ever seen anybody do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Paul Calvisi claims that he has seen Cardinals rookies do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
years.
Somebody's done it.
Nobody by week two.
Right,
But somebody does it in week one out of habit.
It's dumb.
Some rookie.
Yeah, right.
Somewhere. So Lorenzo Alexander is filling in. He's going to be here all day, and it's pretty cool. He's on the executive council of the Players Association, so we can't wait to talk to him about the potential new CBA. And what's interesting about it is there's going to be some deep, dark details that he can't tell us, but there's going to be some other insight that he can tell us that we have no idea about. So that's coming up today. And then we also, for the first time, I think, gosh, I would say in about 5 years, we have a new number one in the starting five.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
There's your PA voice of the Suns.
Number five.
But they got a road back-to-back, so you don't have to worry about anything for a little while, Vince. Number five this morning, for the first time ever, we're going to talk Pittsburgh basketball and Pittsburgh football. Yes, the university. Because if you think the Astros banging on trash cans is funny, you have a situation in Pittsburgh where every NCAA team, there's a group of people that are support staff that are really knowledgeable, but they're not allowed to actually do any hands-on coaching.
Right.
Pittsburgh basketball and football, they were both doing hands-on coaching, so it's a minor infraction, no big deal, unless you pull a Watergate cover-up. And that's what both coaches were doing. They had a student manager sit out in a hallway, and if an administrator came down the hallway, he would text the scoreboard operator of practice, and the student manager would hit a couple buttons twice.
Right.
And once there were two buzzers, all the coaches would just put down the basketballs and walk out of the gym before administrators got there. Football team would change the genre of music. And everybody would know, uh-oh, that means a spy is coming in from the athletic department. And those coaches would have to get off the field.
Man, that's just hilarious to me. The things that we allow our young men and young ladies to be subjected to is from coaches that we send our kids off to, right?
Yes.
Winning is everything. You know, it's the only thing in their minds. I mean, that stuff is just crazy to me. I can't believe college coaches are doing that to get the edge. That's not really even helping them.
It's not helping. Yeah, that's the thing. Pittsburgh football and basketball, how long has it been since you were good? It's not helping.
Number four
this morning, an NFL.com article says Kyler Murray is going hard after his own front office.
Yeah.
He wants CeeDee Lamb at number eight.
Well, from my text stream, you can tell Kyler likes him.
So that is Steve Keim from our Newsmakers Week. And now it's a story that's gone national that he says, I want this guy. And so it does make sense. They need a receiver.
Right.
The head coach put in a lot of Oklahoma terminology to make the transition easier for his quarterback. And his quarterback knows CeeDee Lamb very well.
Yeah, you got to have a guy like that you trust, you know, you've been around, you know what he's made of, and you know how he's going to bring it every day. And so that relationship means everything, especially when you're playing in the league as a young quarterback.
And you can easily sell me on the fact that any rookie that comes in under Larry Fitzgerald is better than just bringing in any other rookie.
Of course, you're going to be around the GOAT. Why would you? Definitely going to be better.
Number three
this morning. Oh, lost a back-to-back.
Still 0-0. Shen centering. O'Reilly shoots. He scores!
If you didn't see the game, the greatest 1-0 competition as the Blues shot 46 times against a defense that did absolutely nothing. And Antti Raanta was unbelievable. And I've never seen a goalie leave the ice faster than Raanta did after that game. After 45 saves, and he gets nothing for it.
Yeah, he's putting in that work. He said, I got to get to the showers.
Exactly.
I'm tired. Get
me out of
here. Number two.
Exactly. Number two this morning is actually what's going to happen today. The owners have said yes to the new CBA. What will the player reps say? Here's Marcus Spears.
You'll see teams incentivized, especially to get that number one seed. Yep. Instead of having the opportunity to sit players down and try to figure out, you know, who can we rest up until this point, it's only one of those spots. And it is a clear advantage to be number one and not the second place team to play the seventh ranked team.
One of the aspects is the seven teams in a conference going to the playoffs. I love it. Not because I give a crap about Team 7.
Right.
Because I love the idea that only one team gets the bye. What do you think?
And that's what the owners are looking for, making the end of the season special the way they've done with the division games towards the end of the season as well, right? So teams have to play. If you want that first round bye, you can't sit your guys.
Totally agree.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, for the first time since they hired Bobby Hurley, ASU basketball's number one.
Mickey Mitchell in backcourt gets it to Edwards. 19 seconds left. Edwards fires ahead to Martin. Bounce pass to Zoe. Zoe will drive in and dunk it with 13 seconds left. Alonzo Verge makes it a six-point game.
So every year, ASU off to Dayton. And it doesn't look like they'll go this year because they get to go higher. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. They've won six straight. They've won eight out of nine. And most importantly, in a city like this with a very apathetic fan base, they won in front of a packed house in a very exciting game that you assume will have people saying, you know what? I want more of that. I want to come back to that. ASU, a 77-72 winner last night, and it was a great game to watch. And this is Bobby Hurley after the game, directly to the guys.
I told you guys they've been the bullies in the Pac-12 for the last few years, and we're getting closer. You know, we're chipping away. And great job, you know, defensively. That first half was unbelievable. You guys held in 23, set the tone. But you know, fantastic job. You know, I can't believe where you were and how much guts you've shown to get to where we are right now. We got to keep it rolling.
Go.
Even though, Lorenzo, if you just tuned in, Lorenzo Alexander's filling in for Wolf today, who took the day off. Even though, Zoe, you are officially now retired,
yeah,
you got to get fired every time you hear a post-game locker. I mean, even though that was not one of Bobby Hurley's best of all time.
No, it wasn't, but I actually enjoyed that because, you know, you kind of heard him take a shot at Oregon. They've been the bullies.
Right.
No longer, though. We just smacked him in the mouth. And so, I mean, that's what you really love as a head coach, to see your team make those steps and so that you understand that you can play with at an elite level. And so that was just a great message to his team, just to understand, hey, recognize what you guys just did, because you guys are going to have to do that again, and understand, be confident in that.
I like the kind of the low-key speech, because it made you feel like it's an expectation now.
Yeah.
You know, if you're losing your mind because you beat Oregon, I would get it. You're an unranked team, and you held court at home. But when you do that, you're also showing the guys, I didn't think you could do it.
Right.
Or this is a shock factor.
Right.
And for him, it's more of a case where this is who we are supposed to be.
Right, exactly. And that's what he's speaking to. And so, you know, being on some of those teams, you know, actually, you know, being in Buffalo, right? And
yeah,
so
yeah,
that bully for us is the Patriots. And so we have an expectation over the years that we can compete and play with them. We just haven't figured out a way to do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to see a team actually figure out how to do that. And so when you see ASU finally taking that step of beating a team that, because a lot of times not even about talent, it's about, okay, Oregon has beaten us X amount of times. They've been there. And then in the fourth quarter, for some whatever reason, that pressure, you really start feeling that pressure of trying to beat them, because
right,
you know, if once you get over that hump, you're going to do something great, you kind of fold underneath it. And so for them to take that step, I think that's important. And Bobby Hurley already understood that his team had it in him, and so he's obviously proud of him and mentions it. But like you said, again, it's all about tone.
Yep.
And so they wrote, we can do this. Oh, yeah, we just did it. Coach ain't a surprise. Hey, let's continue to build off this.
And you can imagine coming up on Saturday, they play Oregon State. And Oregon State is 5-9 in the conference. They've actually got some good players, but they're not a good team.
Right.
Well, this is the exact type of thing that when ASU has a game like this on Saturday, in the past, one of two things would happen. Either the fans are like, okay, this isn't a big game, so I'm not going to show up.
Yeah.
Because for some reason in our city, fans are not programmed to say, I love my team, so I'm going to go support them.
More event-based.
Yeah, they're event-based.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is not an event. So they don't show up, and then a lot of times the players, even though they shouldn't be affected by the fans, go do your job. It's more of a case where, hey, we had this big win, and then there's the letdown.
Right.
If ASU does both against Oregon State, where they have fans come out again and realize we've got something special, and the players rise up and say, we're not going to give this win back. We just earned the win over Oregon. We're not going to let the Beavers come in and even out the weekend. Now you know you're becoming a special program.
I mean, that's essential in growth, right? How do you handle success? It's probably even more important than how you handle failure, because everybody wants to grind when you're losing. You want to get back. But when you beat a team, a lot of times it's natural human reaction, especially when you're dealing with young men in their 20s, because you see this in the NFL all the time. You kind of, we got over it. And then here comes another team. Okay, that's the number one team now. Yep. Let me come in and smack them. And even if the fans don't show up, because I think it's important that the teams are able to bring their own juice, their own excitement because of who they're playing and not rely on the fans, that's going to even show even more growth depending on what the environment is.
You're right.
But they definitely have to come out and put it on them early and then maintain that and not allow a letdown. And that's going to show their growth, because even when you play in the tournament, you're not necessarily playing in front of your fans, even though you're playing elite teams. And so that juice is not always there. So this is a great way to kind of create that.
From a tournament standpoint, this was a huge win, as in, I think, and for once in my life, I'm not ripping Cal, but last weekend they went to Stanford and Cal.
Yeah.
Stanford and Cal, little below average,
right,
but really great at home. And ASU went in and swept the weekend in their place last weekend. I think that put them in the tournament. But you would still argue, are they having to go to Dayton, Ohio? And since I'm from there, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But it's not a good thing, because that's where ASU starts their tournament every year, is going to Dayton. This win yesterday eliminates Dayton now.
Yeah.
Now you're in the real tournament of 64, unless they totally fall on their face. Here's Bobby Hurley after the game talking about how every single person contributed.
I've said it before, like, Remy has got such a strong will to win, and he won't let us lose. There were a few games he refused to let us lose. Romello White's a warrior. He battles every game, and statistically it always doesn't show up, but like when you have that guy back there, it gives me so much confidence. And then the emergence of Verge and all the hustle plays, and again, a lot of things that don't show up in the box score for Mickey Mitchell, and the intangible things, we've gotten way more production out of the four spot.
The number one guy to talk about on this team is Rob Edwards. If you didn't see the game last night, he had 24 points. He was 9-15 from the field. And so he's one of those guys that it's unexplainable why a guy with that good a form shooting the basketball has been so poor over the last maybe 2 years at shooting consistently. The amount of missed threes he normally has in a game is really rough to look at. And yet, if you're a coach, you know you don't have a chance going to where you want to go without him.
I mean,
if you just bail on him, you're not that good. You're an okay team.
Right.
He's probably the difference between winning a round of 64 game and then being out in the first weekend, and going all the way to, could you actually make a Sweet 16? Could you actually go to an Elite Eight?
Right.
He's that big of a difference maker. Yeah. I'm amazed at how well Bobby Hurley has handled him, because that performance yesterday, you never get if you would have bailed on him earlier in the year.
Right, and I think that's a sign of, obviously, Bobby Hurley's experience in coaching and being around the game as long as he has, and understanding young men take some time to develop, maybe having some pressures. And we don't know everything that he's dealing with as a player, right?
Right, right.
Home life, school. It's a lot of things that go on. And obviously, as a young man, I mean, it can affect you even more. And so we get to see what happens on the court when he's playing a game. It's like, why is he not performing? Mm-hmm. What's going on? His shot is nice.
Yeah.
But he's dealing with something completely different. And so I think that's why it's so important for having coaches like that. I'm going to believe in the young man. I know what he's doing. I know what he's dealing with, and I need to bring him along because he is important, obviously, to our team. But I want to make sure that I'm building confidence in him because that's what I told his parents going to do, right? I'm not going to bail on you.
This is Dave Pashin, Bill Walton, after the game, talking exactly to Rob Edwards. So we were just talking about how Bobby Hurley handles Rob Edwards. This is Rob Edwards on playing for Bobby Hurley.
It's great. He's a true competitor. So every day he pushes us to go hard, even if we're tired or whatever, anything we got going on. He's going to make us go hard. He's going to yell at us. And, you know, he did it, so he knows what he's talking about.
Bobby is totally a college coach. Yeah. Even though he played in the NBA, he probably would try to calm down. I don't think you could get his emotions to calm down.
No.
And for him to be an 82-game guy doing that in front of the pro athletes, I think that would drive those guys crazy. But the college kids love it.
Right. They love it, and they're in there just long enough. You know, I don't know how often you see a four-year kid in high school or college basketball anymore, but that energy for a pro is like, man, just calm down. I'm good. We good. But college athletes need that. I need you to feed me. I haven't learned how to do that myself yet. And so that energy a lot of guys respond to, and then it comes across as, okay, he cares. He wants us to win, and I'm going to go out here and play hard for him.
We have an exclusive coming up next. We have a member in the Auction Community Studios right now that is part of the executive council, and we're going to talk about the CBA, of which he's been involved in. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Paul Calvisi just walked into the Auction Community Studios, which is not a good thing, because now us Ohio Bobcats are overrun by Cal Bears all of a sudden.
Yes, sir.
Having two of them.
Lorenzo Alexander and his speed metal. Every time Zoe comes in, we get speed metal on the show. That's good stuff there, Zoe.
Yeah, if it becomes a full-time thing, then we're going to get that changed, though. This is not my skilo, as I would say.
Were you in Berkeley when Green Day was just starting out in the whole punk scene in Berkeley? Weren't you a big part of that?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Just checking.
I would hate to hear you two tell stories of what a Cal Berkeley party is truly like.
Yeah, totally opposite ends of the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Frat boy, football player. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't let guys like Zoe into our parties.
They were scared we're going to take all their girls. I've had some run-ins with some of them frats, closing their doors on us.
It's true.
We just knock our way and get out the way.
That's right, Zoe. Zoe would walk up and down Fran Row looking for guys like us.
I just realized we're into year 14 of the Doug and Wolf Show, and I've never asked this question. Paul, were you a frat boy?
No. Okay. No. Yeah. I was smart enough not to belong, but I knew enough guys where I could go to the parties.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, just on the outside looking in. That's all I needed.
Right.
Just,
he wanted all the perks and didn't want to have to go through any of the...
That's right.
any of the walks, we'll just say. Okay, we got it. So if you just tuned in, Wolf's off today. Lorenzo Alexander, still current Bills linebacker for another 3 weeks, is in studio. And let me make sure I'm factually correct here. We have you as a member of the executive council, which means you've actually in negotiations for this CBA.
Right.
At one point, sat across the table from an owner.
Yep.
You've been in talks. Your department is on the executive council. You're in charge of. You're part of the group that actually does the negotiations. But then, to our knowledge, today is the day that proposal, where we stand now, is then handed off to all of the team representatives.
Right.
And either today or tomorrow, they vote, and they need a two-thirds vote to say yes to this proposal. Then it goes to every rank-and-file member.
Correct.
Including you, since you're still technically under contract.
Yep.
And then it just needs a 50% plus one, meaning a majority vote, and then we have a new CBA. Does that all sound legit?
Yes. That's about the way the process would work. And so, obviously, we've been working on this thing for a long time now. A lot of guys have put a lot of work in. And so we are at a point to where we feel comfortable at least bringing it to the guys.
Okay.
And then, obviously, allowing them to make a decision. And, obviously, there's been a lot of noise in social media, especially these last couple of nights, as far as guys being vocal. You know, different people from the NFL, reporters reporting stuff. And some of it's true, some of it's not. But we're at
a point
where
would you care to tell us what's not true?
I just know some guys are tweeting stuff out that doesn't make sense or is not true as far as the information. And so if we get to something that comes up, I didn't memorize what they said was wrong. I just kind of pushed on and he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
So Doug hit him with a big question. Are you going to vote yes or no? Thumbs up or thumbs down is currently constructed. How would you vote Lorenzo Alexander?
Well, I don't want to put that necessarily out there like that, right? And because I'm in a position to where I have a lot of influence just because of the years I've played and how close I've been to this deal. And so I'll come up with some reasons why I would vote for this deal in the ways of let me put it like this. So I don't want to influence anybody. So somebody's obviously going to listen to this.
Yes.
And so even when I'm on the call today, I'm trying not to influence. I'm trying to present the facts the way they are and then allow you to make a decision.
Okay.
And so would I vote for this deal where I'm at? Yes, I would. And I put it in these terms. I hate the 17th game. I hate it with a passion because I'm looking at it from a perspective of 15 years. But most of our guys don't play 15 years. You know, a lot of our guys play 3 years. And so it's three games in my mind for those guys. And so there's some other things that we've been able to move on. And as far as our side of it, as far as the money stuff, some benefit stuff that we'll be able to allocate, helping some former players as well. And so the totality of the deal, even though I'm not in love with it, and I don't think you're ever in love with the CBA, I would recommend it to our men to at least vote on it and see where we're at. And if we don't like it, cool, great. We'll continue to work the process. And obviously the owners, I think, voted yesterday. Obviously they like the deal the way it is. And that always moves me a certain way. Like, what am I missing? Like, yeah,
well,
what am I missing?
Supposedly the owners, now this is funny, the owners have let it out that they voted yes but not unanimously, okay?
Right. Yeah.
Now that either...
So that's Mike Brown.
That either... Yeah. I was going to say, that,
right.
That means one of two things, and Paul's already got it.
Yeah.
It either means there is a little, not a total agreement, and there might be a group of owners that don't like it, and that should make you feel good as a player, or it means the vote was 31-1 and the Bengals were the one.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's
you just don't know
one
what it is. But yeah, yeah. So, and you're not going to always make everybody happy, so which I get, and I know he's probably one of the ones who didn't vote right.
Well, tell me if you would agree with this assessment. Tell me if you think the NFL owners are just negotiating or whether you're thinking this is true. The way I am kind of reading the tea leaves is the NFL wants the 17th game so bad, and they want to get this cleaned up now and not have the threat of a work stoppage.
Right.
They're willing to give you almost everything that you've asked for in other areas. And if you vote no on this,
right,
this might be the best deal you're offered.
Yeah,
is that fair?
And that is the sense, you know. So you talk to people that have been in the room the complete time, and I haven't been there the whole time, so I had a better understanding of where they felt, because you're actually sitting across from them when you're talking about things. And so our staff is at the point to where they're, you know, communicating, this is the best deal that we're going to potentially get right now. And then it ain't going to get any better if we don't. That's just the kind of the sense of it, right?
Uh-huh.
And so as men, how do we feel about this? Do we feel like it's good enough, or do we think we want to do something different? And so we just have a lot of tough choices today as far as where do we want to move forward. And people have different opinions as far as how the owners really feel about it.
So what do you make of the owners capping the extra game check at only $250,000?
Yeah, and so
where if you make more than $4 million a year, you're taking a haircut on that game check.
Yeah, you are. And so right now we don't really know when they'll institute that game, right? And so we have, let's say right now, if they could do it, I think in 21 and 22 or 23 is the 3 dates, the 3 years that they may institute that first game. And each year, currently right now, I think right now I'm going to make up a number. It's going to be fairly close, not exact. So we have 200 guys that will be above that minimum. Because if you're on a minimum deal, you're going to get 1/17. If you are above a minimum in your paragraph five, then you'll get that bonus of up to 250, right?
So I think what you're saying is, make sure I know it and listeners know it. If you are signing a new contract, it doesn't really affect you because your new contract, you're going to get your 17 game checks versus 16 game checks. But if you're already under contract,
right? So that's,
and it stretches.
Those are the guys that guys are worried about.
So let's say, and I'm going to make up a number myself just to make it easy. Let's say you make $16 million.
Yeah.
So therefore, I get $1 million pre taxes on every game check.
Correct.
Now suddenly I'm going to get that same number on 16 game checks,
but
only $250,000 on my desk game check. I'm like, now wait a minute.
But
what makes sense though? But there's only so much money. So people and when you're working with only so much money in a pot and you have benefits, see, people forget about benefits and all that other stuff that's part of player cost and your salary. So in a CBA, you can't. There's no way you're going to make every single person happy.
Makes
sense. You try to negotiate and make decisions based on the biggest impact of people, right? And so when you have and our group is way more diverse than the group that we're negotiating against.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's easy to put them, make them more happy, or a bigger group or percentage wise of them happy, because they're all pretty much aligned.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
And on our side, we have an undrafted free agent rookie, and then we have a first round Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So it is totally different as far as the wants and the needs of those different guys.
Yeah.
Franchise tags, minimums, the way deals are structured, off-season work rules. I mean, everybody has a different perspective because I'm coming in from a different way, and that's why it's so hard for us to negotiate a deal that's going to make everybody happy and feel good about it, where you're not. And so I guess what I encourage our men to do is try as much as – because, like, me looking back as far as playing 15 years, there's no way I would want to play another game in 17. But if I'm a young guy who's in my second year and I know I may only have two more years at this thing, I might play it it's only two extra games in my mind.
The minimum wage goes way up in this deal.
And I'm getting more money early, and I can walk away from the game earlier. So I don't have to play 10 or 12 years to feel like I'm secure and I can move away.
That makes sense.
So there's a lot of different perspectives. And so I'm trying to ask guys when we make decisions, and I guess this is what I was trying to say when I opened up, is try as much as you can to remove yourself and how this deal impacts you, and look at it holistically and how it's going to impact our men and the men in your locker room, and who are you thinking about when you do it? Who's it going to be? How does this deal impact the majority of guys in your locker room? Because it's easy to say, I hate this deal, 17th game, no way, and blow it up, and we're going to strike and move forward. But, okay, so that now you're going to ask a guy that only has 3 years to play to miss an entire year of salary? And that may be fine if that's what we think we want to do, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, so what does that look like now? Are we going to get a better deal because of it? Are we going to take a step back? So there's a lot of moving parts as a player and a lot of responsibility you have when you're making these decisions. Just don't make it out of emotion and because you hate the 17th game.
That's a good breakdown.
Or you hate this part of it. No, you got to think about everything of the deal and then think about the lives you're impacting, because it's no longer just you and your family. Mm-hmm. It's in your locker room, the 60 other guys and the wives and the kids and their families as well that you're holding their life in. So take your emotion out of it and make a logical, thought-through decision on the deal.
And the media members that you love so dearly as well, all part of the equation.
Get tickets for just $9.
You're laughing.
Get tickets for just $9.87 to see your soon-to-be-ranked ASU basketball team host the Beavers tomorrow night in Tempe. If you text Devils to 620-620, you can get $9.87 tickets as part of the Arizona Sports Sun Devil Special. Coming up next, two men on opposite ends of the spectrum explain why Mike Hazen's the man. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
They were scared we're going to take all their girls.
Wolf's got the day off today. Lorenzo Alexander, nice enough to come in studio, spend some time with us. Bills linebacker, Cardinals linebacker for quite a few years, and now Valley resident. Which means you get to enjoy spring training, go to ball games, go to basketball games. You're a little more you like baseball, but you're more basketball than baseball, right?
I don't think that statement is
really
true.
Okay.
I like both sports.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I think I can watch basketball better on TV. I like going to baseball games.
Oh, that makes sense.
You enjoy the experience being out there and just kind of watching everything.
So the beer's colder at a baseball game.
Well, I don't drink beer, so I wouldn't know.
What?
No.
Man.
I've never been a beer guy. That's a frat boy thing.
No, it's not.
It's not a frat boy thing? Oh, I thought
it was a frat boy
thing.
Well, I'm not a frat boy, so I don't know. I don't know how this show drifts into anti-frat boys today. But I'm enjoying it. But, I've been a beer guy for I don't even know how long. This is something that I can't wait for you to hear this, because this happened yesterday on the Doug and Wolf Show. We were live at Salt River Fields, and I've never heard this, and you don't have to go through this necessarily in football, but you know something like it. But the way the arbitration process works in baseball is just, it's archaic what it is. You finally have played in the league for 3 years, and all you've heard is be a team guy. Then you say, I think I'm worth this much. The team says, no, you're not. You're worth this much. Then you go in front of an arbitrator, and the team sits there in front of your face, and most of the time doesn't even have the guts to put their own people there. They'll have some lawyer person or some other person
right.
go through why you stink. And why you're not good enough to get this money. And after always saying, don't worry about your stats, be a team guy, they list all the stats why you don't deserve this money.
Yeah.
That's what they do. It's just archaic. So you walk out of there thinking you're dirt, your team doesn't really care, and you understand now, oh, it's a business, you better produce or we don't want to pay you.
Yeah.
After you go through all that, I have never heard anybody in the history of Major League Baseball compliment an organization after they went through it.
Okay.
Here's Archie Bradley yesterday.
As I said, I have matured, so I understand this process that I just went through, and I understand the business side of sports. You know, as much as you want to be personal and friendly with guys, there is a business aspect to what's going on. And I think if you don't understand that from the get-go, you're kind of naive and you weren't informed correctly. But I do have to give a shout-out to the front office of the Diamondbacks. Mike Hazen, Jared Porter, Omniel. I mean, I know it sucks to go in there and have to go through that, but the way they handled it, I talked to other players even this year that went through it, and their GMs, they weren't in the room with them. Those three guys sat in there. They looked me in the eyes. They shook my hand. As difficult of a process as it was, I think that's where you have to mature and understand this is a business, and there's business decisions that have to be made. And it was as simple as, I'm going to fight for what I think my value is, and they have a value that they can't pay over that. And it was as simple as that.
Have you ever had a general manager in your life tell you you're not worth what you think you're worth, and you respect him more on your way out than you did?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, because you so, and I think he did a great job. Obviously, he wasn't. It didn't sound like he was emotionally wrapped up in it, and so he went in with a certain mindset. And I think because I kind of went through it last year, right, with our GM Brandon Bean, and I thought he did an excellent job as well. I don't know if I came out of it feeling better about him or better about the situation, but at least we had a conversation, and he was, like he said, it wasn't like he sent one of the guys underneath them or somebody that works for him also in our department to kind of give me the message. He was man enough to sit across from me and tell me their opinion from a team perspective, right? And I think that's where you hear Bradley talking about the respect, because they didn't send one of those lawyers, third party, has no connection emotionally to me, has to deal with me every day. They sat across from me and actually gave the presentation of why they felt. And then it's also about how you go about doing it, you know, in the presentation. Are you just killing me and acting like I'm not a good player, or are you giving like some facts? And it's like your mom used to always say, it's not what you say, it's how you say
it. Yeah.
And so are you framing it in a respectful way where, okay, I can understand and see it from your perspective, or are you just like, man, this dude is trash, yada, 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 we don't want to pay him, and just really deframing me as a player. And so it's all about the way you do it. And like I said, when I did it with Brandon, even though I didn't like what he was saying and didn't always agree with what he was saying, at least he was telling me to my face and had some, you know, at least some perspective or some reasoning behind it.
This is Lorenzo Alexander filling in for Wolf, former Bills linebacker. But was it a case where you went into the meeting mostly retired, but you didn't really enjoy hearing why you weren't going to get offered, talked into staying?
So this happened.
Or is this the year before?
Last year of my deal. So 2000, after 2018 season, I was a free agent. And obviously I wanted to stay in Buffalo. And you go in there and playing well still, and so, you know, they always want to talk about age and being hurt, but I've never been hurt before, and so I'm like, where are you getting these statistics at? I've never been hurt. Are you waiting for me to get hurt? You know, so, I mean, and so you're going through it like, man, what's going on? I'm a leader. You say all these great things, and that's where I think a lot of guys get sensitive, because you love me. I'm a team guy. You're doing all these things. We love you.
Until it comes time to pay you.
And then pay me, then it's like, well, what about X, Y, and Z? And so I think it's just all about them being man enough to sit across from you and have a conversation.
Have you ever had a GM ask you to cuss them out?
No.
The way they handled it, from the way they communicate with me to even the next day, I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this. It's not about my case, but just about Mike Hazen and how much respect I have for him. He called me in. He straight up, he's like, hey, bro, that sucked. Like, having to sit there and listen to us talk bad about you, you don't get to say anything. Like, the floor is yours. You want to cuss me out? You want to, whatever you want to say, bro, right here. You can look me in the face and tell me. And I'm telling you, man, as a player right now, I feel a lot of respect from those guys.
Totally.
And I truly feel like it was, hey, this is a business thing. We're going to go handle it. And now, look, you're our guy. We love you. You're a superstar here, and we want you to be a guy for us. So that sucked, but we love you. And, like, honestly, man, like what you just said, I've heard horror stories from the past. That was about as cool and respectable as I think that process could have gone.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that attracts free agents when you hear something like that.
And it does. And so, and for coaches and people in the business, and I think it's gotten better, they understand how important a relationship is. And it's hard to walk that line, right? Because you work for the team, but I love these guys. I'm with them all the time. I see you all the time. I know your kids. I know your family. I know your wife. And that's how my experience was, especially being an older player with Brandon and Sean.
Yeah.
And so now you have to walk this fine line of business and relationship. And so the better way you handle that, and you just don't go way off on the deep end, but you're respectful. And I think that's what I hear through that.
Yeah.
Because it's different in his case. You can't even say anything as the player. At least I was able to regurgitate and come back and go XYZ on my own behalf. And so, you know, if you hear a player saying that, obviously they did it the best way they can and handle it in a bad situation.
It's good stuff from Archie Bradley. The entire conversation is available for you at ArizonaSports.com. We talked about a lot of different things. Coming up next, if your quarterback says take him, should the Cardinals listen? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.